Good morning once again. It's Pastor David. I hope you all had a great laugh. The first 5 minutes of this program, I mean, it's a complete disaster. There's nothing like live broadcast to keep you humble. So, just when you think that you're all humble enough and you don't need any more humility, God comes along and says, no, you could use another dose of humility.
So here we are.
I hope you hung in there, those of you who didn't give up on the broadcast. I think we're working now. But thank you for joining us. I'm going to pray in just a second here. But as I was mentioning, the forecast was that a tropical storm would more than likely be affecting Orlando by this time. So this morning when I got up, it looked so beautiful out. I said, what happened? And that's another thing. I talk about your best way to pray. But it seems like the storm is moving slower. It is coming, and probably by the end of this broadcast, it'll be pretty stormy. And so we made the decision to broadcast from home. But I just want to first of all thank God for all the people who have helped us over these months that we've had the pandemic. There's been such a faithful core of people that came in, like Jim and his crew, and Lanye and Nikki, and the Usher's legal team, and the finance team, and the intercessors, and Matthew, Seth, who's been helping us with worship. So thank you all, and everyone else at Catalyst. You are such a faithful bunch of people. We're privileged to work with you. We love you guys, and I pray that this broadcast will be such a meaningful to you. I'm very excited about the word the Lord gave me. It's a short message, but it is, I believe, a relevant message for our time. So I encourage you to grab a friend, grab your family, bring them together, maybe even do a sharing, a watch party, and let others get involved, because we're going to be talking about the need for passion in our work, the need for God's passion in our work.
Some said they couldn't hear you. Could they let us know if they are hearing you now?
Okay. The volume is all the way up, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, if somebody could let us know if our volume is okay, we'll try to speak a little louder. Is that okay? I'm just going to say a prayer, and then Pastor Angela is going to join me. She's kind of monitoring the responses on Facebook, so she'll be coming around the table here in just a second. But again, thank you to all of you who support this ministry with your tithes, with your prayers, with your attendance. Catalyst is a very, very special church, really a beautiful church. God's Holy Spirit is so real and so precious and present at Catalyst. It's a very, very blessed place. We've been in a number of churches over the years, but I have to say Catalyst is one of the sweetest places that we've ever had the privilege of ministering at. Amen. I don't know if I can speak any louder, but I'll try. So maybe if you put the camera a little closer. Can you put a little question in there? All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for blessing us today with your presence. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to even be able to communicate through social media. We thank you for the technology we have, and we pray that you help us to get it right. Lord, just search our hearts at the beginning of this service, Lord, that our hearts will be in tune with you, because I do believe there's a work that you want to do in the hearts of every listener today. And I also pray against any interference of the enemy. If somebody agree with me right now, any warfare, any interference, any attempt by the enemy to shut down this message, Lord, we rebuke. In Jesus' name, we resist him in our faith. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And we ask you, Lord, for your help today, for your blessing over this broadcast, for your anointing on Pastor Angela and myself, and every ear and every heart that is listening, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Angela is going to join me now. She's coming around the table.
Yeah, and I don't know why they said we have a lot of hiss in it too. So we're not sure what this all is, or you can't hear us. But we're going to do our best. We've done this before, so we're not sure why the interference today, if it even has to do with the possible storm coming up. We don't know. But we're praying that the message will get across today, and that you will be able to be blessed, that you'll join with us, and that the Lord will speak to us in this time. A lot of times, even during these times together, the Holy Spirit has given words of knowledge and has moved powerfully. So we ask you to pray with us and to join with us, because this is really a team. This is really the body of Christ. This is really the church of Christ that's getting together. Whether in that building, which we sure hope it's going to be soon, that we gather more together, or on here, now our home has become a sanctuary, and we welcome you here.
Yeah.
We welcome you, our friends. We wish we could have you all come over sometime, but we welcome the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit to make this a sanctuary in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. We want to just go over some of the announcements and take care of some things that have to be mentioned concerning this coming Wednesday, and also concerning next Sunday. We're going to reschedule our communion service for next Sunday because of the possible storm today. It just made more sense for us to wait one more week. And also, Pastor Angela is going to tell you how you can get your supplies, your communion supplies.
Yeah, on Wednesday night, we have our Impact Grand Prix, which is so powerful. If at all possible, and you can come to the building, we'd love to have you. We do have social distancing. We do, have masks and hand sanitizer. And the building is also cleaned with an electrostatic machine that someone very generously bought for us so that we can sanitize everything. So we're trying our best to keep it a safe place. But, you know, we invite you to come and pray with us. And if you're not able today to bring your offering through the portico, as we usually do, and we love to wait that you, you know, that you will, instead you could bring it Wednesday night, or you can go on our webpage at catalystorlando.org, and there's a donate button there, or you can mail it in. The church address is on the website. I just want to remind you of something, too, that these messages, our church is very privileged to have people who not only preach a sermon, but who hear from God and share the word. And you know, these messages are on Facebook. You can watch them even after this live broadcast. You can watch it live. Also now, our website, which is so cool, all the stuff happening with our website, you can watch the Sunday sermon online. So please take advantage and share. If you know someone that's going through something that can use that word that came forth Sunday, you know, I think I'm so much in the church that we have a Sunday sermon and then we move on to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, and we're a society that is fed and fed and fed. But we need to practice and preach what we did the last time and keep building on that. So, you know, these truths are timeless and they are so apropos. So continue to share the website, continue to share the messages on Facebook, you can post them on your page. You know, God is working. Even the prayer meetings have been so powerful with Impact Prayer and Praise. And we love that there's people watching from all over the country right now too with us. Also our youth meet on a Zoom chat. On Monday nights at 7:30, and if you're interested in having your young person from middle school all the way up to college age, please send us a message on Facebook or through our website, and we'll get you the Zoom information. Our Catalyst Kids have an awesome Facebook page that's interactive, and it's just really wonderful. We're also hoping to have a Zoom chat with our kids. So we're doing everything we can during this time to keep in touch, and thank you for being faithful. Today is actually our 2020 Building Fund Sunday. And I just want to share something from my heart. We've had a week that's been unbelievable at the church.
Very challenging.
We thank God the roof is repaired again, and it's doing well, but it still has a lot of areas that are very much in need of help. One of our speakers was blown by a lightning, one of our monitors, one of our computers, our copy machine, our printer, our Ethernet, all this has gone down, even our security system and more have been affected. And would you pray with us that God will provide a way very quickly for us to move out of this building? I was talking to someone this week who is trying to help us with a copier machine and to find a reasonable one. And they said, I think, you know, God is saying something. We can't stay in this building much longer. Mm-hmm. And I know that many of you are giving sacrificially. We pray for God's great blessing on you. But we pray that if God lays it on your heart to do something extra for all of these things that have happened, or if you can, if there's something you can do more for our 2020 to help us get into the building sooner, just let the Lord speak to your heart. No guilt, because I'll tell you the truth, we're praying for you, and I know it's a challenging time for a lot of our listeners, too.
It is. I'm not sure if you mentioned about picking up the communion supplies on Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. I just want to mention that if you don't have communion cup, we have this all-in-one cup with a wafer on top. We have it in two of the sanitary bags so everybody's safe and you don't have to worry about being touched. You can pick those up on Wednesday night, because next Sunday we do want to have communion together.
Amen.
And hopefully we'll be in the building. We won't have to worry about us fumbling around with this. I'm still laughing at myself about how wild the first 5 minutes of this program.
You know, we should really save all of these and do a bloopers.
Yes, yes.
And our very first video like this
we could call
was
it,
sideways as well.
Yes, fabulous, funniest videos. You know, and maybe send it in, and who knows, we could win a $10,000 prize. But anyway, I'm going to ask Pastor Angela to pray for the message. We're going to be speaking for the next couple of 3 weeks, I believe, on the subject of not losing your passion for God, and how we need to contend and fight to hold on to the original dream that God puts in our hearts, to the ideals, the vision that we have for our lives. There's a battle going on for our hearts and our passion.
Yeah.
And, you know, if the devil is not looking necessarily for you to just all of a sudden become an atheist, he knows that's very unlikely to happen. But he would love to wear down the saints. The devil's strategy, again, is not for us all of a sudden to try to make us all deny God, because it's very unlikely for that to happen. But if he can wear us down and make us discouraged and make us lose focus and make us feel self-pity, and lose our vision and our passion and our perseverance, then he has us where he wants us.
That's
an effective strategy that has worked, but we've got to fight against that. We've got to fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
That's what I want to talk about today in just a minute. So, Pastor Andrew, would you pray for me and pray for the audience before we start?
I feel this is a strategic message more now than ever. There's so many things that can distract us. So, Lord, we enter into these few moments together. I thank you that there are people joining us all across this country and even in the world, God, that you will unite our hearts, that we will truly empty ourselves of ourselves and open our ears. Just put your hand on your ears and say, Lord, symbolically, I'm putting my hand on my physical ears, that you would open my spiritual ears to hear your word, Lord. And don't let anything block what God wants to do in your life or what he wants to say to you today. And bless Pastor, Lord, anoint him. And Lord, bless everyone who's watching. We thank you for them, Lord. We thank you for these precious people, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to introduce our message by saying, oftentimes the real winner in a race is not someone who has stumbled, and somebody who's weary or never felt fatigued or never felt like giving up, but it's the person who got up again. The person who was able to get up one more time. You know, in a boxing match, you see a lot of what you call a slugfest, where boxers are beating their snot out of each other. But one of them will ultimately triumph because he keeps getting up, and he can take a punch and keep on giving it back to his opponent. And that's kind of the mentality and the theme I want to talk to you about today, about how we need to be careful to stay focused, stay disciplined, stay on task as far as what God has put in our heart to do. Because we are living in a time with all the confusion, with all the distractions in the world, with all the things that are being thrown at us that we've never had to face before. It's very easy to get distracted. It's very easy to lose our focus and to become lukewarm or to just become so confused and blurred that we lose our sense of zeal for God. We lose our sense of focus. And so that's what I want to share with you this morning. Last week, Pastor Angela spoke about Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing about Saul of Tarsus, he was zealous for his hypocrisy. He was zealous as a Pharisee. He was zealous as a terrorist, attacking Christians and bringing them to jail, persecuting them. Wow, what zeal he had. But as Pastor Angela said last week, he had zeal for the wrong cause.
Misdirected
zeal. Mm-hmm. And we've got a lot of people in the world today, even to this day, people still being persecuted for their faith in the Middle East and other countries around the world. We're living in one of the worst times for persecution of Christians right now, because we have people who are zealous for the wrong reasons and with their very warped ideologies that think that they're doing their God a favor by killing Christians. That's the world we're living in. And the Bible says in the end times, there would come a time when people would think that they're doing God a favor by killing Christians. So we need to wake up. And I want to just share with you this morning, the first thing I want to say is get up. Get up, wake up, and stand back up. I've had a lot of battles myself. I was fighting a lot of fatigue yesterday, and I had to, you know, press on with this message, even though I was kind of feeling like, you know, mentally and emotionally drained. But God was encouraging me to persevere, and I want to share this with you this morning, because somebody out there is right in the balance. You are right at a crossroads. And if you should throw in the towel now, or if you should give up, you're going to miss some of the greatest things, some of the greatest fulfillment of your life. You're going to see things happen that you have been praying for years. You may be one or two steps away from your dream, one or two steps away from the fulfillment of those things you pray for. This is not the time to just lay back and just coast and just kind of zone out and become a couch potato. This is the time to stay focused on what God is telling you.
Amen.
The scripture I want to share with you this morning is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm going to read a paraphrase of it. If you want to look it up later, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting at verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? So run to win, to get the prize. Everyone who competes goes into strict training. And these athletes, they do this to win a prize that will someday fade away. All the gold, all the silver, all the medals can all be burned up, and someday they won't amount to anything. But what our race is about is for an eternal prize. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We are running a race for an eternal crown and an eternal purpose. That is the kingdom of God and the reason why God put us on this earth. And so therefore, Paul says, I do not run like someone who is running aimlessly, just running in circles. I do not fight like a boxer who is just beating the air, like sort of like shadow boxing. You know, you're fighting, you're practicing in a corner, you're not really fighting anybody, you're just kind of shadow boxing. And it's okay for a certain amount of time to be able to shadow box, but when you actually get into a ring and you're fighting somebody, you better know what you're doing. So here's an alarm that is being given out to the church today. Run to win. Go into strict training. Refocus. your goals, refocus the greater purposes for which God has called you.
Mm-hmm.
It takes passion to run and win a race, and it takes passion to run to win the spiritual race that we are in, the purpose that God ordained our life for.
Yeah.
You can't get there without passion. Anything great in life has always taken passion. Anybody who has succeeded in life, they have to get up. Sometimes their bodies were tired. Sometimes they have to overcome injuries. Some people have had terrible upbringing. Some people were orphans. They didn't know their parents. And yet they accomplished great accomplishments because they got a hold of that sense of purpose for which they were called. The reason Paul, the apostle, said later on, he says, I got a hold of, or rather God got a hold of me and made me understand the reason why he got a hold of me. That reason for which I was, apprehended by God. Mm-hmm. Apprehended by God. So God apprehends us, he gets a hold of us for a purpose, for a reason. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. I have one amen right here. I want you to look at Jesus as our example. Jesus' vision and mission statement was given right away in the beginning of his ministry. Interestingly, in the town of Nazareth, where he grew up as a little boy, he stood up in the synagogue, and people had heard about him, that he was performing miracles, and something unusual and amazing was happening with his hometown boy. And Jesus stands up in the synagogue in Nazareth and he reads the book of Isaiah and he says these words, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to those who are bound."
Yeah.
And then he tells the people in Nazareth, this day, he said, these words are fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, I'm the person that this prophet is speaking about.
Mm-hmm.
This very day, this mission is coming to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, to me, very striking. Because every one of you really have a prophetic purpose over your life.
Yeah.
God has a destiny. God has a plan. God has a reason for which you were allowed to be born. And a reason by which you can make the world a better place than it is. And if you don't pick up your mantle, and if you don't pick up your baton and run, you could miss the greatest purpose in life.
Yes.
The word zealous or passion means to be compelled by deep feeling, to have intensity, zeal, enthusiasm, and conviction. I want to say that again. Passion means to be compelled by deep feeling, intensity, zeal, enthusiasm, and conviction.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something you have to fight for. And this is not just about temperament. I had this confused for many years because my temperament is more phlegmatic and kind of laid back and so on. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon me, I have very strong feelings and convictions about what I need to say and what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
You might be more of a sanguine person or more of an alpha personality, you know, type A personality or whatever. And you're always passionate, you know, you're always extroverted. But that doesn't mean you're extroverted or passionate for the right cause.
Yeah.
So it's important to be passionate about the causes that God puts in our life.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of screaming, a lot of shouting, and a lot of activity often amounts to nothing.
Yeah.
It doesn't accomplish anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of noise, but no progress.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're saying, whether you are easygoing personality, a quiet personality, or a very loud, bombastic type of personality, it doesn't matter. God is not partial. He will choose anyone and everyone who has their heart set on walking with him and willing to give their life to him 100%.
Amen.
Jesus said in John chapter 10, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Mm.
But I have come that you might have life and that more abundantly."
Yeah.
Abundant life. I want you to think about that. Life to the max. You know, another translation says a satisfying and rich life. This is the life that God has called us to.
Mm-hmm.
And then another translation says a better life than you've ever dreamed of. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine the life that God wants to give you. The God who created the universe. The God with whom nothing is impossible. you see your obstacles, but God sees your potential.
Yeah.
You see what's right in front of you, but God sees beyond that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just feel an anointing right now that God is speaking in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
You have that, you know, the tree right in front of you, you don't see the whole forest. God sees the end from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I ask you this morning, are you living an abundant life? Are you living life to the max? Are you living the kind of life that Jesus died and rose again from the dead to give you? That's what I'm asking. Am I living that kind of life? It's so important that we do not allow the devil to steal our hearts, to steal our enthusiasm, to steal our optimism, our hope. As I said before, most of us are not going to turn out to be atheists. We're going to believe in God, we're going to trust God, we're going to love God till our dying day. But not all of us will live fully an abundant life. And that's a sad truth, isn't it? It's a sad reality that there are a lot of Christians that are just surviving and not thriving. And I'm saying this because I know this can happen to me. I personally have to fight discouragement. I personally have to fight weariness, wanting to quit, wanting to not be my best, you know, just wanting to feel like, well, let me just feel sorry for myself for a while. I need to have a little pity fight. We all go through that. But the passions and the vision that God has ordained for your life are worth fighting for.
Yes,
somebody say they're worth fighting for.
Yes,
that's why the Bible says, yes, thank you, my dear. Pastor Angel is in the amen corner.
Amen.
Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. There are not many fights in this world that are worthwhile.
That's true, yeah.
Unfortunately, a lot of people are fighting over things that don't amount to anything. But one fight I can tell you for sure, God has ordained, is the fight for your faith.
Yes, yeah.
He wants you to believe. Like, again, like Paul said, there will be a fulfillment, excuse me, like the angel said to Mary, there will be a fulfillment of all things that God has promised, all the things that God has promised. And look around you. Look at all the causes there are. I mean, if we've ever lived in a time where there are so many needs, so many causes from, I mean, you know, injustice and children who have needs, learning potential and fighting for causes like, you know, giving people opportunity and for people's health and to help the homeless. Just look around. There's hundreds and hundreds of needs all around us. The greatest need of all is for people to know Jesus. To know Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, just one glimpse of him. You know, people have told us, Pastor Andrew, that they have gone through being in church for a number of years, and then one day, they, in their own private way, they were with God in prayer or something, all of a sudden the light went on, and they realized that Jesus was a personal Savior.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wasn't just a religion, he wasn't just someone in history who was meant to be read in a book, but he's a personal living Savior who wants to live inside of each one of us. You know, this morning the Lord put this on my heart to say to you, many of us have lives that are full of activities. Our lives are full. Some of you are going 24/7, but your life is not necessarily fulfilled. Your life may be filled, but it's not fulfilled. And God wants to fulfill a life that we would have an abundant life because we know we're putting God first, as the scripture says. While the people of God were on their way to the promised land in the time of Moses, they said, the Bible says these words in Numbers 21, and the soul of the people was very discouraged because of the way. Why? The soul of the people became discouraged. They got so weary walking in the desert. You know, going out to find manna in the morning, the sun beating down on them, not eating, having to eat, you know, all the delicacies, so-called delicacies they had in Egypt, you know, all the fresh vegetables and leeks and garlic and all of these things. I don't necessarily care for those things. But anyway, they found a lot of things to complain about. It says, The people spoke against God. They got angry at God, and they got angry at Moses. Why have you brought us up from Egypt? To die in this wilderness? In other words, they got an attitude. They got an aptitude, as they say in Jamaica, an aptitude mind. And that is not a good thing. That is not a good thing. They, as a matter of fact, some of them were so discouraged, as you know what happened when Joshua and Caleb went out to explore the promised land, that the vast majority of the adults of that generation died in the wilderness and never inherited the promised land because they grumbled, they complained, they were disheartened, their soul was discouraged. Oh boy, this is a really, really powerful word today. This is a powerful word because we've got to encourage our hearts in the Lord. David, you know, encouraged himself in the Lord. Encouraged himself in the Lord. Everybody in his troop there, the 600, in his band of 600 men, they were all discouraged. Their wives and children were taken as hostages. And they were ready to stone David. I mean, not only was Saul trying to kill him, but now his own men turned against him. But the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. This is hard. This is hard to do when you're feeling down. You just get up one more time. You just open your Bible. Just send up another prayer. Just forgive that person another time. This is hard, but I'm telling you, it's the difference between winning and losing. This will make the difference between you gaining the prize or losing the prize. Zeal. Zeal is so important. Jesus lived passionately. Jesus was zealous. And of course, he is our example. He lived with deep convictions. He was focused. He had perseverance. He didn't just survive through the time he was here on this earth. He completed the Father's will with joy. I'm going to give you a couple of examples before I close. First of all, the very first words recorded in the Bible from Jesus. I didn't know this. I've been studying the Bible for years. And last night was the first time I actually ever noticed the very first words that came from Jesus that were recorded in the Bible. Was when he was a little boy at 12 years old. And when Christ, his parents had lost him, you know the story about him being lost in Jerusalem, and for 3 days they were looking for him, and they found him in the temple. And in Luke 2:49, the Bible records, and Jesus said to them, "How is it that you have to look for me? Did you not see and know that it was necessary for me to be in my Father's house and occupied with my Father's business?" Here he is at 12 years old. He's in the temple. He got so absorbed in asking questions of the so-called religious experts, scribes, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and he was asking them questions, and they were amazed at the wisdom that he had. So, you know, in the Jewish culture, it's so interesting that this happened when he was 12. Because in the Jewish culture, at 12 years old, most of the boys would follow their father's business. That was the time when they would begin to apprentice. So if their father was a carpenter, they would begin their apprenticeship at 12 years old. So here Jesus, at 12 years old, is beginning his apprenticeship as his father's son, teaching the Pharisees and the Sadducees about the will of God and trying to open their blind eyes. Somebody say amen out there.
That's good,
So the very first words in the Bible talk about Jesus' passion for his father's business. "Did you not know that I must be in my father's house and busy in my father's work?" And then Jesus' passion and his zeal was shown one time when he was witnessing to the woman of Samaria. This is found in John chapter 4. And the disciples had went to buy lunch in the town. But Jesus knew that he had an appointment with a woman that needed desperately to find God. Boy, and my heart is just being stirred right now. I wonder how many times I've missed appointments because I wanted to have lunch instead. Come on, that hurts. That hurts. I felt that. And the disciples came back with food, and they saw Jesus talking to the woman. And they said, "Lord," they said, "you know, aren't you going to have lunch?" And he said to them, he said these words, "My food," or "my lunch," "my food is to do the will of God, the one who sent me and to finish his work. What he's saying there, in other words, it's more important for me to do my ministry than to have lunch right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it may seem like a small thing, but you can tell that he was focused. And I'm sure they were tired.
Yeah.
You know, they were
yeah.
weary.
Yeah.
Walking through from Jerusalem to Samaria. They didn't have, you know, the kind of means of transportation that we have. But think about the fact that Jesus continually thinking about his Father's purpose. And he would tell, when he was questioned, he would say to his listeners, he would say, I don't do my own will. I'm doing the will of the one who sent me. And he would do my Father's will. And then the last one, One was that Jesus shows his zeal and his passion in the fact that there's a limited window of opportunity.
Mm.
This is powerful. This is in Luke 22. He says, John chapter 9, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent us. The night is coming when no one can work. In John chapter 9, Jesus again repeats this passion that he has. He talks about the urgency. Everybody say the urgency of his mission. He says, while it is day, there's a window of time. You know, we don't know how many years we will be on this earth. We've had, in our church, we've had three funerals in the last month or so.
Yeah.
Three precious people that have passed on from earth to glory. While there is time, so the night is coming when no man can wait.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one, where we really see the zeal of Christ and his passion, was in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Mm-hmm.
And he was praying fervently for the fate of the world. Just think about this. Imagine if Jesus did not fulfill his mission. Where would we be?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if he gave up in the garden and all of hell was coming against him.
Mm-hmm.
Satan was personally trying to deter him from his mission.
Yes.
To destroy him before he went to the cross. And the Bible says he prayed with such fervency, said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. He prayed three different times that he would not falter. He knew he was going to be arrested. He knew he was going to be betrayed. He knew he was going to be whipped. Some of you who saw the movie, The Passion of Christ, saw the reality of what it was like to be purged or scourged by the Roman whip. Bloody mess that tore his back apart. You could see the bones visibly from his back. He was facing all this, but he did not waver in his zeal. The Bible says that sweat as drops of blood fell from his face as he agonized. He said, not my will. Thy will be done. He did this because he saw you.
Yeah.
We've got to get this, folks. We have to realize what a price God paid for our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
He saw us in 2020 that we would sometimes be tempted to waver.
Mm-hmm.
And he made himself an example. And he finished the Father's work. And somebody say amen.
Amen.
I pray, we're going to pray, Pastor Angela and I, just a moment here, for us to be able to renew our dedication to God in these difficult times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask Pastor Angela to comment, but I want to challenge you to stay with us here for the last 5 minutes to say this prayer with us. Because I'm sure if I'm fighting this, I'm sure others are too.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says our temptations are common to mankind. We all face the same.
That's right.
Even Elijah,
right.
who was a great prophet, was a man of like passion.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to give up. He became so depressed, he was suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine what we're facing today, how much we need to renew our passion for God.
And, you know, I was thinking when you were talking about what Jesus went through, that, you know, people don't realize that he is 100% God, but he is 100% man. So that it wasn't like, you know, he didn't feel the scourging, he didn't feel the rejection, he didn't feel the pain. He felt it. he felt the hunger when the others went out to eat. We don't think about things like that, but he was. He descended from heaven to be a ransom, to be a sacrifice, so that you and I, we can live it through him and through his sacrifice. What a price he paid. What did the Godhead, the glorious Godhead, the Son that came to earth. And, you know, I've been reading a lot about that, and it just blows my mind that he paid the price, and the Father to send his Son.
Yeah, so amazing. And I hope this inspires us.
Yeah.
I think it was C.S. Lewis that was saying that if we don't understand the cross and the sacrifice of Christ, his redemption, and excuse me, his passion, the passion of Christ, which is often how we describe the last week of Christ, the passion of Christ. You know, when he was in the garden and rested and so on, such like that whole week. If we don't understand that, we really don't understand the central truth of Christianity. So the central truth of Christianity is that God sacrificed his life for our lives. There is no greater sacrifice. There is no greater price that could be paid to ransom us. And that visit, you know, to the cross, sometimes we have to go back and see C.S. Lewis said this. He said, if you are finding yourself passionless, go and kneel, and in your own mind, just revisit the events of the cross. Take some time.
That's so true. I have found that to be so true, that thinking more about that and what Christ did has really made me see that, you know, even though we may be going through hard times, that it's so small compared to what he did for us. And that he overcame. That's the other part. He overcame. He overcame death, hell, and the grave. He overcame the temptation, so that he can intercede for us and be an example for us. So like Pastor said, you can do it, I can do it. And today I need to tell myself that, because it's been quite a few weeks that it's been almost like a resistance. But that scripture also came in my mind when Pastor was teaching today, is don't be weary in well-doing, for in the right season you will reap. You will reap. You will reap, the Bible says, if you don't think. So I am clinging on to that today. God's promises are true, and his word is true. And he not only is with us when he says, okay, here's a trial, you're going to go through it. Here's a pandemic, you're going to go through it. And then, bye, I'll see you on the other side. He goes through it with us. He's in the boat with us.
Yes, he is. Again, and the Christian life is not a stroll. It's not a casual stroll. It is a walk of faith. And sometimes it's a fight. And you've got to draw down deep inside and say, God, I'm casting all myself upon you. And I can tell you, Pastor, that we've had times where we have come to the end of our own ability. And we just lifted one more prayer. And we just said, Lord, I surrender, just like Jesus said on the cross, the Father unto you will I commit my spirit. He uttered that last ounce of service to God. He offered that last desperate, deep place to his Father. Said, Lord, I commit my spirit back to you. And he finished the work. He said, it is finished. I don't want you to miss the great thing. Some of you, my wife mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Angela, that some of you are one or two steps away from the fulfillment of something you've been praying for years.
Hallelujah.
And we don't want you to miss that. So right now.
And it's darker sometimes.
Before
the dawn.
Yes.
Because right now I know someone who's been praying for something for many, many, many years. And they're very discouraged. But they don't see what's going on the other side. It's like Ananias. He had no idea that main visitation that Saul had. So we don't know what God is doing on the other side. Your prayers are being answered.
Amen.
Your prayers are being answered. Our prayers are being answered.
Yes.
God is working behind the scenes. So today, we don't want to just be a rah-rah, you know, get excited, kind of like, you know, put your chin up. But in the Lord today, we have hope no matter what's going on around us.
And we're going to cover some of this next week and perhaps the following week and give you some specific tools and some strategies in terms of how you can renew your passion for God. And one of the most important things is to be renewed in the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yes.
Because God, the Holy Spirit, is the third person of the Trinity.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit is given to us as a counselor.
Amen.
Amen. As someone to advocate for us.
Amen.
Someone to fill us with more of the nature of Christ.
Amen.
So we can ask, you know, the Bible says to be being filled. Be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's how one of the surest ways, the quickest ways, you can be renewed with God is to ask for more of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask Pastor Andrew to pray also. God, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege we've had, and I ask you to just go and give us right now. Maybe take someone's hand if you're with your family. Put strong hands. Lord, we almost didn't get this meeting started. There was so much confusion in the beginning, but I can see how valuable, Lord, these words are, not just because you gave it to me, but because it's your word, Lord. Your Holy Spirit is bearing witness to the truth of what is being said here.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, Lord, may the reality of the passion of Christ be in our hearts, Lord. May we be refocused, Lord. May we be renewed in our spiritual fervor.
Amen.
Anyone who has lost their edge, Lord, I mean their spiritual edge, Lord. Anyone who has lost the sense of the abundant life that Christ came to give and is really kind of confused right now, Lord. Their purposes are kind of blurred, Lord. I pray that you would sharpen the focus. Help them to see clearly, like Jesus said, the Spirit of the living God is upon you.
Yeah.
He knew his mission. He has called me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Maybe you have a family to raise. Maybe you have a prayer ministry. Maybe you have a ministry at work. Whatever it is, it may be in the neighborhood. It may be in the church to help out in the church, but you have a greater purpose that you must never lose sight of. And that purpose can only be filled in conjunction with Christ, and it can only be fulfilled as the Holy Spirit helps you.
Yes.
So help us, precious Holy Spirit.
Yes,
we're desperate for you, my God.
Yes.
We're desperate to be renewed by your Spirit today. In Jesus' name.
Yes, sir. And yes, that you will help them and fulfill me. Those holy gifts of the Bible, just like see passion at that moment. The embers get fanned into flame, like Paul said to Timothy. To fan into flame, some of you have gifts in your spirit that have been so dormant. They're almost like just embers flickering. But I thank you for the wind of the Holy Spirit that's able to ignite. Oh, I see like a vision of that. Those embers that are being stirred by the Holy Spirit today. And the enemy really didn't want this broadcast to happen. The enemy didn't want you to listen. But the Lord has brought you to this moment because he's stirring your heart once again. Not in false hope, not in hope in the pie in the sky or just being positive, but that the Holy Spirit would fan into flame the truth of God in you. That every other thing that is not of God would be exposed. And the lies of Satan of just dominating your life. In the name of Jesus, we pray that the Holy Spirit would break those chains and break those words. And instead, that the Holy Spirit would be ignited in us, Lord. And the passion of Christ would be in us, Lord. That, Lord, that even though we may go through difficult times, Lord, and identifying with what you've gone through, not merely what you've gone through, but, Lord, identifying that we thank you there's a resurrection.
Yes,
thank you, Lord, that there's victory.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, that we can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Some of you need to remember your testimony.
Hallelujah.
The Lord says you need to remember your testimony of how much God brought you from, because it will give you the passion to go forward.
Yes.
It will give you the love for Christ that you need.
Yes.
So, Lord, we're counting on you for all of this today.
Amen.
And we're thankful that you are more than able, Lord, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. In Jesus' precious, holy, matchless, wonderful, powerful name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Bless you. Wow. Wow. God is so good.
Should we sing this song?
Okay. Are you ready for Pastor Dave and Pastor Andrew duet?
But sing with us so you can drown us out.
And we'll be listening, so sing real loud.
Yeah, sing real loud. But this song goes so beautifully with what Pastor said today. Oh, you're beautiful.